I know that our friends from Furman University would like to know that the temperature currently in Greenville, South Carolina is 69 degrees, a balmy 69 degrees in Greenville. Currently in Fargo, Moorhead, it is 7 degrees below zero with a wind chill of 21 degrees below zero. And let's get the thoughts on that and everything else regarding Furman versus Bison football from Robbie Ross. He is a part of the Furman radio broadcast team. I had big plans of having all these guys come in the studio, including the play-by-play guy, Dan Scott. But unfortunately, Dan got stuck in New York City at LaGuardia because of some weather and some airline incompetence. And so he's not even in Fargo yet. And so he said, why don't you call my buddy Robbie Ross and have him on the phone to talk about Furman football. Mr. Robbie Ross, welcome to Fargo, my friend. How are you doing?
Man, I am freezing, but thank you.
And I don't know how much you've traveled before, Robbie, with Furman football or what you've done in your life, but have you been someplace where it's been a wind chill of 21 below zero before?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, like you said, we left Greenville this right around 12:30 Eastern time, and it was 71 degrees. Whew. And, you know, we get on the airplane at 71. We get off the airplane at negative 6. We don't know how to function. And so what do we do? The four radio guys, we decide, well, let's go downtown. Let's get in the cab and let's walk around downtown. So we walk 3 blocks, and my beard is frozen. My face is painful, and we walk into I don't even know where I am. We're across the street from J.L. Beers at a hotel. I think a restaurant in the bottom of a hotel.
Hotel Donaldson. Hodo?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
That's it.
Yep.
So we're trying to fit in. We're trying to get the full Fargo experience by, you know, walking around downtown. But it seems like we're the only people walking around downtown for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, yeah. We live here, so we know when it's 21 below wind chill, you don't walk around as little as possible. You walk around, but the positive is though, is it's warmer today than it's going to be tomorrow, because tomorrow morning the wind chills are expected to get to 35 below by mid morning, so you can experience even colder
that weather.
I just
don't understand that. I cannot, you know, and everybody all week long, when I was telling people that, you know, I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota, and I was posting pictures of the forecast on my Facebook page, and, you know, they're like, well, I mean, what do you think? I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I've never, you know, I don't even remember ever being in single-digit weather, much less negative weather. And, you know, you walk off that plane down those steps on the tarmac to get onto the bus, and it absolutely punches you in the face.
Yeah, it does. And by the way, there will be people tailgating tomorrow west of the Fargo Dome, rather. So we expect 1,000 people or so probably. Normally we have about 10,000 tailgating. Not going to be that many, but there will be people tailgating before the game tomorrow. So if you want the true Bison football experience, if you get a few minutes tomorrow morning, head on over and check out the people tailgating, Robbie. You'll be amazed.
I look forward to that, and I'm going to order a bison tongue Reuben here for dinner in a little while here at this hotel. So, you know, I'm going to try to jump into this Fargo experience 100% while we're here. We're looking forward to it.
Excellent. Good, and we're glad you're in town. So tell us what Furman's going to bring to the Fargo Dome tomorrow on the football field, Robbie. When I look at things, I see a good, solid football team from a good, solid conference that's playing well late in the season. The one thing that kind of stands out to me maybe is a little bit of a size differential along the lines. Furman's going to be outsized tomorrow by North Dakota State. But what do you see as somebody from Furman?
Well, you know, after we got back from our game against Chattanooga on October the 6th, we were sitting at 2-4. And, you know, I'm looking down the schedule, and all of a sudden I see Appalachian State, I see LSU, I see Georgia Southern, I see Stanford. I'm like, good gracious, I don't see another win on our schedule. But something clicked in that game against Appalachian State. And this young team, 44 freshmen or redshirt freshmen on the roster, only 10 seniors. This young team, they're learning how to win. Now, nobody's going to jump out at you statistically by any stretch of the imagination, but they're the essence of a team. They're finding ways to win. They're finding ways for this team to win, not traditional ways of winning football games. And then you beat Appalachian State, and then you go down to LSU, and you're a phantom SEC penalty away from being tied at 20 against LSU in Baton Rouge at night. You end up losing 48-16, but, you know, you played hard in the first half. That gained confidence. You go down to Georgia Southern. You win 16-14. You come home to Stanford, and you beat Stanford at home. And then you go to Western Carolina, and then you beat Wofford at home, and all of a sudden, a 2-4 team ends up winning the Southern Conference Championship. And I just think it's been building blocks, step by step by step, that they're just building confidence in these young kids, saying, oh, my gosh, look at what we're doing. Now, you know, we're not going to, like I said, wow you statistically. Not going to happen. But, you know, we're finding ways to win, and the size disadvantage tomorrow is going to be a factor. Very much so, because we're very thin on the defensive line, very thin on the offensive line, as it's December. And these guys were getting banged up, nicked and bruised. And so that's the main concern. But, you know, who knows? And I, you know, I see it one way or the other. I see us come in here, and the way that Furman wants to view this, I think, at least from a radio broadcaster standpoint, is where do we need to be 1 and 2 and 3 years down the road? Where do we want to get to the level of North Dakota State? And, you know, it's a great measuring stick. But then again, on the other hand, I think they're looking to come in and try to win the football game, obviously.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. So what we've understood up here is that that once Coach Fowler settled on a quarterback, or once your quarterback kind of took control of things, was that a turning point in the season, Robbie? Is that kind of how you see it? Or were there other things going on? As you said, is the entire team growing as a football team? Did the QB make that big of a difference?
Well, Reese Hannon, the quarterback, he was thrown into the fire last year as a true freshman against Coastal Carolina in the fourth quarter, and then his first start was the third game of the year against Clemson. He was injured in preseason practice, so he didn't play the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
A loss to Gardner-Webb, a loss to Coastal Carolina. He came back, limited action against Presbyterian, where we had to block a field goal to win that one, and then he finally came back against the Citadel, and that's when things started to click. Once he got completely healthy, things have started to click. Now, we've had multiple injuries to other players. We also moved a defensive back that's a freshman to Wildcat quarterback situation in Richard Hayes, and he has really changed the pace a lot as well. With Reese Hannon starting those first two games, do I think we lose to Gardner-Webb and to Coastal Carolina? Gardner-Webb, no. Coastal Carolina, perhaps. You know, it's a toss-up there. But with Reese Hannon healthy, this team has a leader. Now, last week against South Carolina State, well, let me take that back. 2 weeks ago against Wofford, Wofford shut down the run. Reese Hannon throws for over 300 yards. Last week, I think Coach Bruce Fowler and company and his staff said, look, we can run the football against South Carolina State. Yes, they are the second-ranked rush defense in the country, but they play in the MEAC, which is a pass-heavy league. So that stat is kind of skewed. So I think it was a very vanilla playbook, only throwing 7 passes. Didn't have to throw the football to win that game last Saturday against South Carolina State. But the key to the thing is Reese Hannon being healthy. Without him being hurt, I think that where our record at 8-5 could be right now, of course, you never know what happens, at 10-3 probably. Add 2 more wins to Reese Hannon being healthy.
Robbie Ross, he's with the radio broadcast team from Furman University. They're playing North Dakota State tomorrow at the Fargo Dome, 2:30 or so kickoff, and you can hear that game and all the pregame and all the postgame right here on the flagship station of NDSU Athletics, KFGO. I do know and that we appreciate up here good offensive linemen, and NDSU has a team full of them, Robbie, but Furman has a great offensive lineman as well. He's the offensive lineman of the year in the Southern Conference. His name is Dakota Dozier. Not one of those guys that people are maybe going to watch because he's not going to get the football on offense, but he's a dandy. He's a legitimate NFL prospect from what I understand.
He is. He's going to go, you know, probably fourth round, somewhere around in there, according to Mel Kiper. He's been playing all year long at tackle, but due to injury 2 weeks ago against Wofford, he's moved down to guard and can play guard or tackle. You know, basically when it's third down and one, fourth down and one, and we need a yard, we're going to go behind Dakota Dozier. He can absolutely just truck people. And in fact, it shows a lot of how the Southern Conference officials are and their lack of intelligence at times. Not that we call out officials on the radio, of course.
Of course not.
But Dakota Dozier is such a good blocker against Southern Conference competition. He is absolutely pancaking people to the ground so well that he gets called for holding. And that's happened at least 4 times that I can recall, where he has been called for holding when, looking back on film, it grades out as a perfect pancake block because he is perfectly in his technique. But he is the best lineman we have and the biggest lineman we have. Everybody else is just kind of, it's a unit that works together. There's no one else. We're not going to blow you off the football by any stretch of the imagination, but we're going to be trying to be technically sound to protect Reese Hannon and give a little crease to Hank McLeod or Tanner Scogan out of the backfield.
Last question. I'll let you get back to your buffalo tongue sandwich and a cold beverage in Fargo, Robbie. But the noise factor is going to be an issue tomorrow. I know that you played at LSU. I know there's 90,000-plus people. But did Coach Fowler do anything in practice this week regarding noise? Because the Fargo Dome is going to, we presume, be rather loud tomorrow.
I don't think so. And yes, 90,000 folks at LSU is loud. But to be honest about that, completely, we played in front of 76,000. It was homecoming at Furman. We didn't get the full feel of what LSU was all about, to be quite honest. It got loud, but it got quiet in a hurry when we jumped out 7-0 on a pick six on their first series. So we didn't really feel that noise. I think tomorrow we're going to feel something that these kids have never felt. And I just hope that if we can sustain that initial jolt of emotion and jolt of energy that the Bison are going to come out with, and we can sustain that, I think that we can probably stay in this football game a little while. But if not, if we're in awe and we're intimidated and we just fall into the trap of the noise and the raucous and the emotion, then it could get ugly in a hurry.
Robbie, thank you. Welcome to Fargo. Stay warm. And I might be texting you later on to see if you guys are out and about Fargo. I might come out and try to join you for a beer if that's okay.
Absolutely. Love to see you. Love to see you. Thanks for having me, Robbie.
Yeah, you bet. Robbie Ross, he's with the broadcast team of the Furman University Paladins. They play North Dakota State tomorrow.